that ball game one. The word is now used. The word of promise. In your mouth and in your heart. First it's in your mouth. Then it gets in your heart. And then Jesus came along and told the parable of the sower. And he said, the heart of man is the soil. And the word of God is the seed. And the way you plant it is by saying it. If you had faith as a seed, you would say. It's a principle of calling things that are not as though they were.
The word is working mightily in me.
Remember Jesus said in the parable of the sower, he said, lust of other things entering in, choke the word, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entering in, choke the word. Note, nothing choked the word unless it entered in. It had to enter in. How does it enter in? It's in your mouth, then in your heart. We let these things enter in by the things we say. We say the wrong thing, and we do the wrong things. Because that is what governs what the decision we make. It doesn't change the weather, but it changes the decision you made. And somebody said, well, we're always the first one to get the flu. Our family gets it every year about this time. And let me give you a hypothetical situation. They confess that. Then they feel led to go visit somebody that has the flu in the contagious stage. Just led by their spirit, not the Holy Spirit, the human spirit. And they go to visit with them and didn't know it, but they are exposed to the flu. And sure enough, and they're so happy they could prophesy 6 months ahead of time. I told you 6 months ago we're the first ones to get it. Been there and done that. Don't want to do it no more. The word is nigh you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. So what I said didn't change the weather, but what I said made me make a wrong decision. And when I got a hold of this message and began to say and call for things that were not manifest, I started confessing abundance whenever I looked through lack. I mean, I started these confessions on a little yellow sheet of legal page of paper out of a tablet, folded up. Walk up and down the backside of the turn road confessing I have abundance and no lack. My God has met my need according to His riches and glory. And one morning, in my old religious head, you know, we say the devil said sometimes, but most of the time the devil's not around anyway. He's not everywhere present. But our carnal mind, Paul says, is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You can't believe with the head what you can believe with your heart. That's why faith works in the heart. So you get the word in your mouth, you get it in your heart, and that's where faith works. It doesn't work in your head. The reason it doesn't work in your head, no substance up there. The substance is in the heart. But my old religious head said, you just lied. Here you are, call yourself a Christian. You're making all these statements, and you don't know whether you can borrow enough money to farm another year or not. And I just stopped and told the Lord, I just feel like I'm lying saying this. And he said, son, how could you lie saying what I said? Ooh, that's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. So I just started saying what God said. Just kept saying it and kept saying it and kept saying it. Now, over a period of time, then it got abundant in my heart. And I became fully persuaded like Abraham became fully persuaded. And I knew that I had it. I knew it was mine. I felt just like I had no financial need, and I had lots of financial need. But you see, I saw it on the inside before I lived out. And then I was led by my spirit to be in the right place, the right time, the right situation. And I remember one night, and that was when I was in bad financial condition, this landlady called and said, we're going to sell our farm. You want to buy it? I was working part of the farm. And I said, yeah, I'd like to buy the farm. And I said, I'll come up tomorrow and talk to you about it. Well, I hung up the phone. My wife said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to buy the farm. Now, I've been confessing the word for a year. I mean, over and over and over. And I had abundant faith in my heart. And I could see myself buying the farm. How? I didn't know. And my wife said, what are you going to use for money? I said, money is no problem. And I almost looked around to see who said it. Because it wasn't any problem. I didn't have any. But I felt like I did. So I go up there and offered them $478,000 for the farm. Just like I had the money in my pocket. Talked to the Federal Land Bank and they said they'd loan me the money. So we got the deal all together, we thought, and I went by there and they didn't want but just part of it down, you know, and a third of it down for tax purposes. So I went back to the Federal Land Bank and they said, well, we can't loan on that. That's too much, leaves the second mortgage too much. I never could understand that, but so I'm sitting there praying in the Spirit. And I heard the Spirit of God say, go across the street to the bank. Well, I knew the fellow that owned the bank over there, but I didn't even have an account over there. So I'm just following the Spirit. And I walked over there and walked in. He said, well, what can we do for you today? I said, well, I need to borrow $169,000. Well, I might as well get to the point. He said, yeah, I heard about that farm you bought. He said, we'll loan you the whole amount if you want it. Just bring the papers. And I said, no, that's the problem across the street. They'll loan me the whole amount, but they won't loan me $169,000. That's all they want. And he said, well, whatever, just bring the papers. We'll do it. And money was no problem. Now, see, if I'd still been negative when the fellow said, no, we can't do it, I'd have, well, that's always the way it is. I told you that's the way it would be. I'm telling you, when you get your mouth in motion, the angels go to work. Let me tell you something about words. Words are spirit words. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you are spirit. They're life. Now, in the realm of the spirit, there's no time or distance. When you speak the word of God, that word gets to the future before you do and prepares the way for you. It's set up for you when you get to the future. In the same way with them negative words. They radiate such a negative atmosphere that bankers won't loan you money. They just, it radiates from you. The Lord said to me one time about the shield of faith. He said, now you thought the shield of faith was like a Roman shield that you put up and catch the fire darts of the wicked one. But he said, what if the devil slips around behind and shoots you in the billfold? He said, the shield of faith is an aura that radiates from the word that abides in you. And it's a canopy that reaches all the way around and over your head. And as you walk, it moves with you. You can walk in the midst of the curses and they'll run off of you like water off a duck's back. But if you ever get the mind of a blessing, it will overtake you. It'll draw the blessings of God. You remember when you were little, you had these, what they call lodestones or magnets. You turn it one way and put tacks or paper clips on the table, and it would just stick every one of them to it. Just suck them across the table to it. That's what the Word of God, when it's abundantly in you and that faith is in you, it draws the blessings of God. But you turn that thing another way and you couldn't push it fast enough to touch one. It didn't push them all off the table. They'd just flee in every direction when you stuck it out there. That old negative stuff will just cause them to flee. Word is nigh you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. I had a friend of mine that we used to fish together, and he was very negative. And we started fishing one day, and he said, well, I know you're going to catch a lot of fish, but he said, I'll never catch any. And I agreed with him. I said, yeah, I'm going to catch a lot of fish. I'm going to catch a lot of fish. He said, I'll never catch any fish. I never have been able to catch fish. And he talked negative all the way down there. And we sat down there 3 days fishing in the first day we fished in this little lake that afternoon, wading the water about this deep with some boots on and some old clothes, my favorite way of fishing. And I had caught 4 or 5 bass, and he hadn't even had a strike. He's fishing that side of the lake, I'm fishing this side. And it wasn't much wider, just about as wide as this room. And he said, there ain't no fish over here on this side. I said, well, tell you what, let's change sides. Okay, that's a good idea. So he starts wading over here, and I start wading over there. And there was a fish come from behind me, jumped out of the water, a bass about that long, I'd say he weighed 6 pounds, jumped out of the water and went about 5 or 6 feet before he hit the water, going to this side over here. He said, see there now, they all going to your side. I said, I don't blame them. I wouldn't stay with us all. It's unbelief. Now, folks, that literally happened. There's an aura that radiates from you that will draw the blessings of God, and it'll quench all, that old negative thing will quench all the blessings of God and run them off. Even the fish can sense that. And he kept bad-mouthing the fish, you know, and finally I told him, I said, you know what's wrong? If you can't catch fish, I'd like to know. I said, it's your mouth. So I just stopped preaching about a 10-minute sermon about words. And he started saying, all right, I'm going to catch fish. I'm going to catch fish. I'm going to catch a lot of fish. I'm going to catch a lot of fish. And we were down there 3 days. He caught more fish in those 3 days than he caught all his life put together. I'm telling you, folks, there's more to this than just meets the eye. Jesus wasn't making up stories to put in the Bible when he says, he shall have whatsoever he saith, if he believe and doubt not in his heart. And he didn't say that to make it true. He said that because that's the law of faith. It's the law of God. And the law of faith is the law of change. If you're going to change things, you're going to have to say it different from the way it is. Now there was Abram. He thought I'd forgot about it. He said, Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? And he took him out and said, what will you give me? So he took him out and he showed him. He said to him, you've given me no seed. Well, he couldn't read 1 Peter and find out he had the greatest seed in all the world, the incorruptible seed of God's Word. He couldn't read that. God had to deal with him on his level. So what God did, he took him out and showed him the stars. He said, tell the stars you'll be able to number them, so shall thy seed be. Now, he's had the promise about 11 years at that point. No manifestation of it. Well, it goes on, and he and Sarah get together, and they decided that poor old God, he doesn't understand our situation. Have you ever felt like God didn't understand your situation? And so they get together and decide it's through the maid they're going to have the child, and they come up with an Ishmael. Now, in the 16th chapter, Abram was... When Ishmael was born, after Ishmael was born, God never said another word to him for 13 years. Never said another word to him for 13 years. God will let you do it your way, but you're going to fail. God will still be there. And then God appeared to him and said, your name will no longer be called Abram, but Abraham. Now God's word is out. He's had this promise now 24 years and no manifestation of it. None. No closer to it than he was 24 years before. But we have no record that Abram ever said the promise again after God gave it to him. And we have no record they ever told the stars, so shall my seed be as the stars of heaven. So God was in a desperate situation. His word's out. It has to come to pass. So he just changed the man's name. Now, when God changes your name changed. So he had to tell everybody, I am Abraham. I'm the father of a multitude. They all wanted to laugh because he's 99 years old. His wife is 90, and she's barren. But they didn't dare laugh because all the folks in the county worked for him. Now, watch this. He is 99 years old when God changed his name. Before he was 100 years old, the promised child was born. When God got his mouth, got Abraham's mouth in line with the word where he said what God said, within 3 months, his wife was pregnant with the promised child. And he had the promise 24 years. No manifestation of it. Now, if you take those numbers for it, it's 24 years faster to get a manifestation of the promise of God if you say what God said, but that's not the real truth. The real truth is you may not ever get a manifestation of that promise in your life unless you get God's Word in your mouth and plant the seed. It's just like a farmer saying, oh, yeah, I believe in planting. I believe in planting. Oh, yes, I know that seed has the ability to produce cotton, but I'm just going to pray over my seed and leave them in the barn. Yeah, and you're going to beg at harvest, too. He furnishes seed for the sower and bread for your food. The DNA of God is in that Word. And when you begin to speak the Word of God and proclaim the Word of God, that creates inside you. Let me read you. We'll close with this scripture. I'll tell you, there's just no end to some of these sermons, and I guess you've noticed that. Go to Psalms 77. And when you find your place there, I want to read another scripture in Corinthians. But this will help you. I wish I'd have known this years ago. When you find Psalm 77, turn to 1 Corinthians, first chapter. You know, sometimes folks think I make this stuff up. Now, I want you to see it in your Bible. In the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul said in verse 27, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I've heard people say, oh, that's just foolishness, confessing the word over and over. Well, it wrote about you right here. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Have you heard that? I heard it all the time when I was growing up in our full gospel church in Sunday school class, kids class. Sticks and stones may break my bone, but words will never hurt me. Hey, man, they'll kill you. Life and death in the power of words. But we were taught wrong. I'd rather be hit by sticks and stones than speak the wrong words. Now watch this. And base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen. And I've heard people say, I just despise. They have to watch what I say. Yea, and things which are not. Now it says three times in these two verses, God has chosen this message to use things that are not to bring to naught things that are. You call something to replace what you're experiencing. If you're experiencing lack, you call for abundance. If you plant cotton, you're calling for more cotton. And some people, you know, they say, I know why you're giving. You're just trying to get. That's like walking up to a farm and say, I know why you're planting that corn. You just want more corn. Yeah. And that's the only way you're going to get it. That's the law. The DNA is in that seed. God furnishes seed for the sower and bread for your food and multiplies what you sow. So God has chosen things that are not to bring to naught things that are. So you have to call for the things that are not to replace the things that are. You don't deny what exists. You don't deny that lack exists. You deny its right to exist because you're operating in the principles of God. So you call for it. And you speak it and proclaim it. Now come over here to the second chapter and verse 9. Paul says, and as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And the King James, where it says Spirit searcheth, is capitalized, and it shouldn't be. In the Greek, it was all capital letters. So they assumed he's talking about the Holy Spirit here, but notice it's not the Holy Spirit he's talking about in that particular sentence. The Spirit searches is referring to the human spirit searches. Why would the Holy Spirit search the things of God? He knows the things of God as much as God knows the things of God. He is as much God as God is God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about the human spirit. Now this next verse will reveal it. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him. Now, see, he's talking about the human spirit here. That's what he's referring to up there. Now the first part, he said, the Spirit reveals it to them by His Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. But when He said, for the Spirit searcheth, He's talking about the human spirit searcheth. When you begin to proclaim the Word of God and say, I have abundance and no lack, when you are experiencing lack, you're not denying what exists. You're calling for what you don't have. You're not trying to convince people you don't need any money. You're not saying it for their benefit. You're saying it for your benefit. And I just helped you out here. Don't confess it before unbelievers or some unbelieving church members. You're the one that needs to hear it, not them. They'll try to talk you out of it. But what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man, the human spirit, in other words, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So here it tells you, the Spirit of God knows all about God. So why would the Holy Spirit have to search the things of God? He doesn't. It's the human spirit that does it. When you plant a seed by saying, I have abundance and no lack, the human spirit goes into search mode. Says, find a way to cause this to come to pass. And while you're asleep, the human spirit is searching the avenues of God's wisdom to find a way to cause it to come to pass. Then you will be led by your spirit to be in the right place at the right time, and you don't know why. You just suddenly had an urge to go downtown and stop at a certain place, and something happened. You met a guy that started a new manufacturing plant in town. You went to school with him in the third grade or fourth grade or something, and he'd been thinking about you for days and hires you to manage the plant, been wondering where you were, and met you right at the coffee shop. You just felt led, or urged to get a cup of coffee, and thought it was just a coincidence. You were led by your spirit. And he hires you and prays you twice what you were getting in your other job. And the manifestation of the promise of God comes. Now we have received the Spirit, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we speak? Which things we speak? Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness of him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Who is he that's spiritual? The human spirit. Not an ounce of spirituality in your body. It's the human spirit. Carnal mind's enmity against God, not subject to the law of God. But if you renew your mind, it'll quit fighting against the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit. They're spiritually discerned. For he that spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When you go to confessing the Word, you get the mind of Christ. You get the attention of angels. And they go to working on your behalf. God sent angels to lead Israel to the promised land, keep them in the way and lead them to the place that God had prepared for them. But because they wouldn't follow the direction of the angels and of God and murmured, they all died in the wilderness. It was 20 years old and older. Never entered the promised land. So this is what I wanted you to see. It's the human spirit that searches, goes into search mode. Now, come with me over to Psalm 77. In Psalm 77 says, I cried unto God with my voice, even to God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my soul ran in the night and ceased not, my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. That troubles a lot of folks. When they remember that there is a God, that's the reason that people don't want to believe there's a God. They don't want to be responsible for what they've done. I complained and my spirit, now listen to this, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. When we begin to complain, it overwhelms our spirit. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit made diligent search. How do you commune and get it in your heart? The Word is nigh you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. And your spirit goes into search mode to find a way to cause it to come to pass. Now, you see what he's troubled? He is really in a bad situation here. Now, watch it. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Now, this is what his spirit went into search for. He put it in search mode, but saying, I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. In other words, think about that. And I said, this is my infirmity. Now he's getting some revelation. It was his, and it was his fault. But I will remember the years at the right hand of the Most High. His spirit made diligent search and said, you're thinking on the wrong things. You're complaining, and your spirit's overwhelmed. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate on all thy works and talk of all thy doings. Oh, glory to God. You see that? He's telling you what his spirit said to do. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great as a God, as our God? Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thus thou, with thine arm, redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob. And you go on and read it. But I want to bring it back down to this verse here, where it says, in verse 5, it said, I considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. The Amplified says, times of prosperity. Times of prosperity. So when he made diligent search, his spirit made diligent search. And this is what he searched for. Will the Lord cast off forever? Well, he got the answer. And he got the answer. I will meditate upon thy works. I will talk of thy doings. I will remember the things that have happened in the past and what God has done. The promises of God. The seed of the Word. And I'm telling you, it changed your life forever.
If you would like a copy of the program you have seen today, call our toll-free order line at 1-877-396-9400 or visit our website at www.charlescaps.com. The program is available in CD or audio cassette, DVD or VHS videotapes for $12 plus shipping and handling. Just ask for the program number listed here and be sure to specify what format you want when ordering.
We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles.